Good morning as well. Keep your Bibles open if you're at home, and here, please do keep your Bibles open as well. Today we continue to look at what living is like under the rule of our Heavenly Father. To do so, we have been looking at the longest recorded sermon of Jesus in the Bible, the Sermon on the Mount. This sermon starts with what is referred to as the Beatitudes. And this is where Jesus sets out the nature peculiar to the people who belong to the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look into these words this morning, the words of Jesus, we pray we get a full understanding of what it means to live as brothers and sisters in judgment. We pray, Father, that as you open up this to us, we leave here a more united, understanding family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From the Beatitudes, we learn that we are to recognize spiritual poverty before our Father God. Be sorrowful over a sinful state. We are told to be meek, to thirst after righteousness, and for those who are thirst and are persecuted, we are learning that for them also there is a blessing of heaven. We are told to be merciful, pure in heart. Now, this is what Jesus is saying to us. But what comes after the Beatitudes are Jesus' explanations of what it means for us to be in the kingdom of heaven. We're told, for example, that people who live as salt and light, that their good works should glorify the Father. This is an illustration of a recognition of our spiritual bankruptcy before God. This is part of what it means to be poor in spirit. In other words, we are salt and light not because we want to, but because Jesus has given us a heart that belongs to him, that longs to do good. We are spiritually bankrupt without Jesus, and when we put our faith and trust in him, our hearts are changed for good. Now, today in chapter 7, Jesus addresses another beatitude to show us what it means to be merciful on the inside of the family, the Father's family. We must be people who are merciful. And how can we be people who are merciful? Don't judge your heavenly family. In Matthew 5, verse 7, we read, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." So, to be merciful, there must be some ill behavior or wrong action carried out by someone that requires the judgment of an offended party. If we take some time to think about that, the natural conclusion is that judgment and mercy are intimately linked. You either choose to show mercy or choose not to. Jesus says those who choose to will be blessed as people who live under the love and care of our Heavenly Father. The merciful will receive the reward of mercy. And therefore, in verse 1 of chapter 7, Jesus makes the point that we ought to be careful when we're making judgments as people in our heavenly family. Making judgment is what every one of us do almost every day. It doesn't matter who you are or what you believe. We do it as if we are programmed to do so. Now, I'd like to give an illustration. As a black man living in Britain, I'm aware of the prejudices that exist within society. But that doesn't mean that society or British society is racist. And it doesn't qualify who these racists are. Recently, during lockdown, my wife and I stood in a queue outside a particular popular supermarket. We stood beside each other obeying the rules of social distancing, etc., patiently waiting for our turn to go in. With just one person ahead of us to go in, the gatekeeper, as I call her, announced that only one person at a time could go in at a time. But that is after she allowed a white couple in. You can imagine my immediate judgment. My wife was calmer than usual, and she decided I should go in while she waited outside. I can tell you I was so infuriated about this injustice because I made a judgment about the bigotry of that woman. Now, looking back, I may have been right, but I could also be equally wrong in my assumption. I have no other evidence to support my conclusion other than the one episode I witnessed. But what if one of the couples going in had a disability and needed help? What if that poor woman was just being lenient because the couple going in were being difficult? I mean, I could come up with countless reasons why she allowed the couple to go in, other than being racist. So this leads me to my first point. Our judgments are threatened by secular moral conditioning. What I mean is, we live in a very secular world, a world in which is very unlike the kingdom of heaven. And so we are not distinct as to whether we are in or out of the kingdom. We perceive things as distorted, and we begin to move closer to a new normal in terms of morality. And our judgments are also compromised. Secular society have very different ideas about what is right and wrong when it comes to things such as sexuality, sex, gender, marriage, money. To name a few things Jesus has addressed in his Sermon on the Mount. And as a church, we are called to be different people. When, for example, we honor marriage, the bond of marriage, that is, and trust God in taking care of all our needs. Our judgments on such things as money and marriage and sex are to be grounded on the teachings of Jesus, not influenced by secular ideas. Now, what is Jesus not saying in this passage? There are two things I have identified. Firstly, Jesus isn't saying we shouldn't judge each other. And if we look closely at what he says in verse 5, it is clear a judgment is made. It says, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." As you can see here, Jesus' command is first to put our houses in order before we try to put our brother's house in order. This implies at least one brother is making a judgment, and further, a hypocritical one. Jesus isn't saying we shouldn't judge each other. What he's saying is we shouldn't be hypocrites when making judgments. Why? Because it is easy to see specks in others, and it's hard to see the log right in front of us. We all have had experiences of looking for that thing so close we can't see it. I've lost my keys so many times only to find them in my pockets. Out shot from the kitchen, where's the ketchup? Want to find it very much in front of me. So it is when we look for fault in others, we see their sin, and we're often blind or numb to others. The second thing Jesus is not saying is that we should judge those on the outside of the kingdom. He's not saying we should judge our secular friends. Notice in verses 3, 4, and 5, he uses the familial term brother to describe who is being judged. This tells us that Jesus is talking about those who are adopted into the family of God and are brothers and sisters in Christ. In verse 3, the rhetorical question. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? The answer is obvious, isn't it? We do see the faults and cracks in our closest friends and family because they are the ones that we are around almost all the time. I believe it is because deep down inside, it makes us feel better about ourselves. It makes us feel superior, especially if that particular sin is one we seek, or one we think, I should say, we are in control of. Now, you know the story of the rich young ruler in Matthew 10, verses 17 to 27. When he asked Jesus how he could inherit eternal life, Jesus' answer puzzled him. Firstly, Jesus says to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except the Father alone." Jesus goes on to say to him, "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother," he says. The young ruler's heart is like all of us when our moral bearings are shaped by secular or religious principles. This is what the Sermon on the Mount is about. It is teaching that life in the kingdom of heaven is different under the sovereignty of our heavenly Father. Life in the kingdom of the heaven is relational. It is about relationships between father and children and between children. So the young ruler's response, "I've kept all these laws," is what Jesus challenges when he says to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." The point is that if he wants to be on the inside of the kingdom of heaven, where there's eternal life and where he has inheritance, understanding to trust in God's provision is necessary. The passage reads, "He was saddened and grieving because he owned too much." Now, Jesus tells believers the price of living in the kingdom of heaven, and it means we don't judge those who are not a part of it. As a matter of fact, in Corinthians 5, Paul writes to the church, he says, "For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you." So in verse 6 of Matthew 7, Jesus makes it clear he's speaking to the family of the kingdom of heaven and makes the point in true Jesus style. He uses parable. "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." Now, Jesus isn't denigrating people as dogs, as I hope you might not be thinking. What Jesus is saying here is that you shouldn't or wouldn't offer or give something precious to those who can't or won't know the value of it. Although Jesus was calling his disciples to focus on their own sins rather than anyone else's, he was warning them to remain vigilant. You see, I used to breed and rear dogs and pigs in a former life. You can ask me about that later on. And I can tell you they are very indiscriminate in what they eat. The point is that we should be extremely careful when offering spiritual judgments to a secular world. We do so at the risk of the world's judgment of us. Why? Pigs do not and cannot appreciate the value of pearls. Likewise, some people do not and cannot appreciate the best of human nature, especially in spiritual matters. Not judging does not mean not discerning. Judging leads to the destruction of another person's value while discerning forges a detecting mechanism for self-protection. The world's judgment of the people of the kingdom of heaven will be based on earthly standards and earthly measures. We're subjected to secular judgment and receive secular mercy based on secular morals when we judge the world. We're trampled underfoot and attacked because the ways of our Heavenly Father are perfect and stand in deep contrast to secular morals. We're reminded in verse 2 of Matthew 7 that, "For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." When we judge our brothers and sisters, there's also a danger. Judgment is to be measured because if our judgments are self-righteous, tearing down the worth of a brother or sister, we should expect an equal measure of judgment when we fail to do what is right. This is what Jesus means when he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Now that we've seen what Jesus is not saying, that is, he's not saying we should judge each other, and he isn't saying that we should judge the world around us. So here's the tough stuff. What exactly is Jesus saying? Well, I would like us to look at what Jesus is saying in light of our own experiences. I start with the premise that we as Christians are all part of God's heavenly kingdom. It means that we are a family. In some respect, it can be argued we are a microcosm of the world around us. In John 17, Jesus prays to the Father that we are to remain in the world sanctified in truth. The truth is the salt and light we give to the world. From our own experiences, we have judged our brothers and sisters. Sometimes we gossip, spreading rumors, and encourage lies. Sometimes we keep malice with those whom we have already judged. Sometimes we fail to correct with truth those we claim we love. And sometimes we condemn those we think we know so much about. Jesus says, this is wrong. He says we are to make sure of our judgment. Make sure our judgment doesn't cause injury to our brothers and sisters, and it should be done with grace and in love. The judgment of our brothers and sisters shouldn't condemn or belittle or destroy them. Judgment in the kingdom of heaven is about reconciliation and restoration. That's the purpose of judgment, to restore us to new life in him, to reconcile us with the Father. Romans 8 reminds us, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sin, for flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." So for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation, because by going to the cross, Jesus has condemned sin in the flesh. By resurrection power, we have received eternal life, and our righteousness is fulfilled walking according to the Spirit. What does walking in the Spirit look like? Well, Jesus explains this. as he kind of clarifies this judgment that we make about our brothers and sisters. This is what he says in Matthew 18. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And the last bit. And if he refuses to listen, even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. You see, judgment's purpose in the kingdom of heaven is for reconciliation and restoration. Telling a brother or sister their fault in private is a brave and risky and loving thing to do. Because if we are not careful, we might come across as condemning. We therefore need to be loving, patient, and truthful all at the same time. And we can only do so when we walk in the Spirit. When we seek counsel from our Heavenly Father in His Word and the counsel of people of God who speak His Word. Notice how patient we should be when aiming for reconciliation. We judge in private, and if that fails, then we are told to judge in the presence of two or three. And if that fails, then to the church. And it's only when all opportunity for reconciliation and restoration has been rejected, we're told to relinquish judgment to the secular authorities. Now let me be clear. Jesus isn't saying, or he isn't condoning wrong. Neither is he saying we will escape discipline. What he's saying is that the purpose of judgment is to restore and reconcile. And if that means discipline, then that's part of the process. It brings us into a relationship that will heal us of the hurt and pain we cause and teaches us to trust and depend on the Father to keep us from falling. The next time we're quick to judge, let us take time to look at our own faults. When we see sexual lewdness, ask ourselves, are my thoughts so pure? Do I lust after obscene things in my heart? When we see people intentionally hurting others, ask yourself, am I harboring anger or hate? Let us be careful how we judge, taking time to consider how Jesus has dealt with the sin in our own lives before we address the sin in the lives of others. If we judge each other in the spirit of love, seeking reconciliation, the measure of judgment meted out to us will be proportionate to the judgment we receive. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And lastly, Jesus has a word to us about how we should judge our friends who are not yet part of this kingdom of heaven. He says, don't judge them, because they will be judged by your Heavenly Father. They will judge by the king of their world. And one day, our Heavenly Father will bring all creation into judgment, small and great. So till then, we are told, act wisely towards others, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know to answer everyone. Let us be patient and considerate in all our judgments. In so doing, we'll be like salt, giving flavor to a world who needs to know the love of Jesus and gain a brother or sister who needs to be reassured of the Father's love for us. How deep the Father's love for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are often a judgmental lot, and we do it badly. We often fail to see our own faults and weaknesses because it is easier to deflect attention to the faults and weaknesses of others. Help us today to grasp the extent of your mercy towards us so that we can be people who show mercy. Help us not to judge wrongly, but to seek to reach out in love to our brothers and sisters. And in so doing, bring them back, restore them back to you into a loving relationship. Bless us, we pray, with a ministry of reconciliation through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to redeem those who are lost and need to know you. Amen.